Happy Easter. Isn't it good to worship the Lord on Resurrection Sunday? No place I'd rather be today. If you're new here, we're so glad that you're here today. Welcome to church after the service. As my friend Pastor Connor said earlier, we've got a gift for you out in the lobby immediately to your right. She'll remind you about that later on. Is anybody ready for a resurrection message? As we were thinking about what to do for this weekend, we had our plans. Do we do a big shindig like we do for Christmas? You know, big production and drama and whatnot. And we started to plan that. And as we got closer to this weekend, I just really felt the Holy Spirit pressing on my heart that it's not about a drama. And we'll still do that. We'll still do that for Christmas. It's amazing. It's an extra service that we do. But on these weekend services, we're like, what do we want to do? Man, it's not about a drama. It's not about showing everybody how cool our lights are. It's not about everybody checking out that we have a smoke machine in church or LEDs and a big LED wall. It's not about all that. It's not even about how cool our people are at acting and doing drama. It's not, none of that. I just really felt that as we got closer to this weekend that the Lord really pressed on my heart that what we want is every single person that walks through those doors to experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in their lives. And that's all we want. That's all we want. And honestly, as we got closer to the day, you know, maybe a week or two ago, every now and again I get this thing in my heart where I guess I get worried. Anybody get worried about things that aren't yours to worry about? You know, and so I just started getting a little bit worried. I'm like, you know what, at Eternity Church, and I know this is being recorded, and I know people online are hearing this, so I'll just say it anyway. At Eternity Church, there's not really been the social distancing thing go on, and I'm like, there's probably going to be lots of people at church. And I had a momentary check in my heart where I was like, what if people like Instagram about it, and they're like, oh, Eternity Church, they're too full. Oh no. I was like, and then I started to think, you know what? The answer is simply this. At Eternity Church, we will not ever turn someone away who wants to experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That is the whole story. And if saying yes to one more person experiencing the resurrection power of our Christ, then I'm gonna say, let's do it. Let's do it, amen. And so, yes, I did dress up, by the way, for the occasion on Friday night. And I did. I wore a blazer, and I had a plan. I was chatting to my bride. I said, baby, I am going to wear a blazer every... Do you call them blazers here? Yeah. I'm going to wear a blazer every single service this weekend. And I did it Friday night, and I was like, this is stupid. I'm like, I hate this. Like, I can't move, you know, and I'm like, it's just not me, all right? It's just not, it was pretend me, all right? So I was like, nah, I'm wearing a t-shirt for the rest of the weekend, if that's all good. And so, hey, if you're in a blazer, God bless you. God bless you. I'm not anti-blazers, I'm just anti-me in a blazer, all right? You know, I'll do it for a funeral or your wedding, all right? That's it. And start and end, all right? And so... But I tell you, that our team, our worship team, they're like, should we dress up for the weekend? We're like, yeah, don't wear a hat. And so that's where we landed. So, was he wearing a... And now look how good he looks. Come on. It's our custom at Eternity to stay standing while I read the scripture. And so I'm going to read from Mark 15, 33 to 41, if you wouldn't mind staying standing with me. Rather than just tell the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus, I want to read it to you today, okay? If you're new, I'm one of those in the South, I think they call them a hollerback preacher. And I'm from the deep South. And so so if you could all holler back at me when I preach today, that'd be awesome. You know, if it's good, say amen, all right? If you agree, say, I agree. If you're like, man, I want that, say, I know that. I want that. Amen. And here's why. Here's why. Because I'm not just here to try and impress you with my underdressed personality and my, I don't know, interesting shoes, you know. I'm not here to impress you. I'm not here to entertain you. We're here to preach a sermon together. Amen. And so get in it with me, you know. We're going to preach the word together. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to see people set free from pain and shame and dryness in their lives today. But we're going to do it together. So you're with me? All right. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM. And at 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of those near him heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with wine vinegar, and they put it on a staff, and they offered it to Jesus to drink. They said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes and takes him down." And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last, and he uttered those words, "It is finished." Come on, it is finished. And I do love here that they offered him a sponge soaked in wine vinegar. And what that wine vinegar at that time was, that it was thought to relieve you of your pain, right? And so if you had a headache, have some wine vinegar, right? And I love that Jesus didn't accept that Jesus didn't want to numb your pain. He came to bury your pain, amen? He doesn't want to numb your shame. He wants to bury your shame. He doesn't want to numb your sickness. He wants to bury your sickness. Can someone say amen? With a loud cry, he breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn into from top to bottom, from top to bottom, from top to bottom, not bottom to top, not middle to top and bottom, from top to the bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw that he had died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." And there were some women watching from a distance, and among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. And in Galilee, these women had followed him around and cared for his needs. And many other women who had come up with him from Jerusalem were also there that day. So if you want to receive from God today, would you just reach out your hands? It's just an act of faith, worship, surrender to God. And I'm going to pray for you right now. That is if you want to receive something from God today. That is if you didn't just come here to be entertained or to tick a box, but you come to have an encounter with our Heavenly Father. Amen. And so Heavenly Father, I pray for every person here. We thank you, all of us, God. We thank you for this day, Resurrection Sunday. And I thank you that 2,000 years later on, we all who find ourselves here are just as loved by you as those who stood there that day and saw these events unfold with their very eyes. God, we thank you for your unfailing, never-ending, unconditional love. And I ask that God, you would help us today to understand the very special power of these events that we're talking about. That we would leave here having not just heard about, but having tasted the resurrection power in the name of Jesus Christ. Would somebody say amen? Amen. Look at your neighbor, say, "Welcome to eternity." Look at your other neighbor, say, "The place, not the time." Come on. Come on. Some really powerful things happened in the verses that I just read. And before we get our resurrection power preach on, I want to speak about that curtain for a moment. You know the curtain that tore from the top to the bottom, not the bottom to the top? The curtain that tore from the top to the bottom, not the middle to the top to the bottom, right? The curtain that tore from the top to the bottom. I want to talk to you about that curtain before I get my preach on about anything else today. So you got to understand that in the temple, there was a curtain that ran from the top to the bottom of the room. It separated the people from the presence of God. See, because the presence of God was so holy, so powerful, so palpable, so tangible, that a sinful person who walked into his presence would die because of the contrast between them and God's holiness. So only a certain priest could go past the curtain, right? It would be like there's a curtain between you and me, and only a certain priest could go past the curtain into the most holy of holies and experience the tangible, palpable, incredible presence of God. But even that priest, before he could pass that curtain, he had to go through certain rituals and sacrifices to cleanse himself of his sin before he could walk in there. See, he had to wear certain clothes. He had to do certain things so that he would be acceptable in God's holy presence, because the contrast between who God is and what God wants and who we are and what we want was so stark that it was dangerous for us to walk into his presence without going through those rituals and cleansing processes, right? Y'all with me still? Now, here's the insane thing. Like, I would not volunteer to be this priest. Someone would be like, Jesse, you want to be the guy? I'll be like, nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm totally good. Get Joel Osteen. Get somebody else, right? Like, it's not me. I can't do this, right? And so here's what happened was, just in case he himself found himself in sin after having been cleansed, or he did not properly cleanse himself, just in case he died in there, they tied a rope around him. Right, that's how intense it was. They tied a rope around him, and one end was left outside. The other he took in, tied around him, and he wore a little bell like your little kitty cat, right? Ding, 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 ding. He wore a little bell, and he's wandering around everywhere. And if after a certain period of time they had not heard the bell ring, they're like, oh, he dead. They're like, oh, he sinned. I wonder what he was thinking about. What did you say to the priest before he went in there? Did you say something frustrating about the youth pastor before he walked in there? Right? And so he would be guarding his heart from the moment he went through the ritual to the moment he come back out in that, what if I sin in God's presence? And he would die and they would drag him out. But listen up. We could never be righteous enough on our own to get past that curtain, let alone live on the other side of that curtain. But God so desperately wanted to have a relationship with us, God so badly wanted to hang out with us, that he sent Jesus to die on the cross, paying the price for all of our sins, so that now we are righteous because we've called on the name of the Lord and the punishment for our sin is paid. So should we walk to the other side of the curtain, instead of being killed, we'll be revived, we'll be restored, we'll be released, amen. And so when Jesus died, here's the cool thing. That curtain tore from top to bottom, like God reached his hands out of heaven, grabbed hold of the curtain and said, enough is enough. He tore a curtain that was about almost half a foot thick, almost like God reached down from heaven and said, enough of this. We don't have to be separate anymore. Everyone who calls on my name is righteous. Everyone is welcome in my presence, because in my presence, all things are made new. In my presence, broken hearts are made new. In my presence is where the sinner becomes a saint. No longer does a sinner have to stay out of God's presence, but it is in God's presence that their life will be transformed. Amen? And so I want to tell each and every one of you right now, listen up, look at me. There is no curtain. There is no curtain separating you from God in heaven anymore. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, there ain't no curtain. See, you're welcome in God's house. You're welcome in God's presence. Your sin is paid for. Your sin is paid for. It's done. It is finished. Pour that curtain in half, amen. Today, God's presence is no longer contained by a certain curtain in a certain temple at a certain place, only available to a certain, you know, so-called best of us, but his presence is now for the worst of us and for the rest of us. Amen. So whoever you are and whatever you've done and wherever you've been, welcome to God's house. Welcome to God's house. I'm so glad that you're here. And today the Holy Spirit is here to minister to you. We're one of those churches that believes the whole gospel. Come on, the full gospel. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Come on. Well, the Holy Spirit is here to minister to you, to heal you, to help you, to encourage you, to inspire you, and to show you that he's still got good things in store for you, things he wants to do in you and through you and all around you. Amen. So welcome to God's house. I believe there are miracles that have been hanging out in eternity since God spoke them, waiting to be unleashed on your life and your family this weekend. And so I'm here to tell you, and I say all that so that you know this. No matter who you are today, I want you to walk past that curtain. I want every liar in the room to walk past the curtain. I want every adulterer in the room to walk past that broken curtain. I want every cheater or cheater in the room to walk past that curtain. Amen. Every doubter, every gossip, every fraud, I want you to walk past that curtain. Amen. Because there's healing on the other side of the curtain. There's healing on the other side of the curtain. You know where? You're going to find the strength to stop lying on the other side of the curtain. The strength to change your life is found in the presence of God. Amen. The strength to stop lying, the strength to stop gossiping, the strength to say no to adultery is found on the other side of the curtain. So welcome to God's house. Amen. Welcome to the presence of God. Y'all are welcome here. Come on. And I say all that to tell you this, that every bit of resurrection power that's available to me is available to you. Everything that I'm about to talk about, and this is important, and the reason I set the whole sermon up with the longest introduction that you've ever heard is this, that everything that I'm about to talk about is available to every single person who calls on the name of the Lord. Every person. No matter what you've done on the other side of that broken curtain, come on, His presence is available to you. So listen up. The passage that I just read ends with Jesus dead. Dead. Hanging on a cross, lifeless. It ends speaking about all His followers who had come to worship Him, had come to follow Him, finding themselves looking up at their dead Savior. Be like going to an earthly temple somewhere and seeing a statue of Buddha somewhere and be like, what's he going to do? They had hope. The disciples had hope. And now that hope was dead on a cross. They had dreams for their futures, but now those dreams are dead on a cross. They had provision, but now that provision was dead on a cross. See, they used to wake up every morning wondering, what miracle might we experience today? They were used to seeing blind eyes open. They're just going for a walk with Jesus one day, and there's a dude who cannot see. He's blind. The scriptures say he had no vehicle with which to see. He had no eyes. And Jesus is like, I'm gonna give him eyes. And he just hucks a big loogie, spits in the ground, makes some mud, and says, here you go. Have some of this spit in your eyes. And all of a sudden, he can see. That's what they're used to seeing. That guy's dead. He's dead. They were used to seeing demon-possessed people set free. They were used to seeing starving people fed with just like a couple of loaves and fishes, and thousands of people were provided for. Dead. Broken people clothed. Dead. Sick people healed. Dead. This is possibly the toughest part of the story. Imagine being there. You're like, yay, everything is awesome when you're part of God's team. And he's dead. That's it. And I think this is the toughest place in our lives too, to find ourselves right here. It's hard to exist between the death and the resurrection. It is, isn't it? It's hard to exist in the gap between the death and the resurrection. And so many people find themselves there today. Lately, I've had the privilege of sitting across the table and talking to people. I always have that privilege, I guess. But lately, I find myself talking to people who feel like they're in the gap. I've heard about so many marriages that are under attack. More than I have ever seen in my entire life right now. More than I've ever seen. And they say they feel hopeless. They feel like they're stuck between a death and a resurrection that they cannot see. But like the women at the feet of the cross, they can't see it. All that they believed is gone. All that they loved is gone. I've had coffee with so many people who feel confused, lost, broken, hurting right now. They're stuck in, I don't know, political confusion, or they feel dry in their spirits. Just three days ago, I found out about another friend whose business has closed down because of these ungodly shutdowns. And just a couple of nights ago, I spoke to a really, really good friend who told me how their marriage is just brutal right now. Brutal right now. I spoke to one man who told me that for a season, he's felt like he is a dead man walking. Nothing can give me joy. I know everybody's in here like, oh, great, I came to this church. Someone told me it was going to be uplifting and encouraging and exciting. This is depressing. We'll get there first. We'll get there in a minute. But I was talking to a guy. He told me, I feel like a dead man walking around. Nothing feels good anymore. Nothing feels good anymore. My kids don't turn a light on. My wife doesn't turn a light on. My job doesn't turn a light on. Nothing's exciting. Food, oh, yay. You know what, I like steak. Maybe if I go to 801 Grand Chop House and have a steak there, it'll be amazing. He sits down, he has a steak. Oh, it tastes like steak. Y'all know what I'm saying? Have you ever been dry before? Where nothing can get your motor running. He felt like he was stuck between a death and a resurrection. And I say all that to tell you this. If you feel like that today, if you feel like you're stuck between a death and a resurrection, I'm here to tell you today that there is resurrection power on the other side of the curtain, that there is resurrection power waiting to be unleashed in your life, that the curtain has been torn, that 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And listen to me when I say this, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it was a prophecy. His resurrection prophesies resurrection power into your life. You will come alive. If you feel dead and stuck in the gap, you will come alive. Amen. See, Romans 8, Paul says, the spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you. And he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit of God who lives in you. Listen, I'm about to say something that I need you to understand, and I really want you to remember it, so I had him put it on the screen so that you could remember this. Listen to me as I say this. Easter is not just a historical celebration. It's a prophetic declaration that just as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we too can experience his resurrection power in our lives today. Just as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you can rise from the dead. Your dry bones can come alive, come alive, come alive in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Well, we didn't just come here today to talk about a dead guy. We came here today to talk about a resurrected guy. Amen. And so what I want to do is I want to spend a moment and talk to you about the gap. Because so many people do feel stuck in the gap, and it's all well and good that I've told you you're going to come alive. But I want to talk to you about the gap between the death and the resurrection. Something really important happened in the gap. It's not just a gap. There's something that needs to happen in the gap. The disciples, the believers, they did something very important in the gap. They had a burial in the gap. And the burial is really important because some of us have been carrying dead things around with us, desperate for a resurrection, but we haven't let Jesus take it to the tomb yet. So many times we want to see a resurrection in things that we haven't taken to the tomb yet. And you know why the tomb is so important? Because only God has resurrection power. Come on, only God has resurrection power. Only the things that God wants resurrected get resurrected. Amen. Only the things that God wants to walk out of the tomb, walk out of the tomb. Can someone say amen? So anything that you bury with Christ, anything that you give to Jesus Christ and let him carry it to the tomb, it can't come out without God's permission. And we know that God ain't going to bring something old, something dead, something filthy out of that tomb. He's not going to do that. No. His resurrection power isn't to resurrect the old, smelly, dirty things of your past. His resurrection power brings new things, resurrected to new life. Amen. That's the power of God. Paul talks about it all the time. Paul says it all the time. He says, we are set apart. We are born again. We are made brand new. Amen. I don't want a resurrection into the past. I want a resurrection into new life in the name of Jesus Christ. Can someone say amen today? I'm here to tell you that if your marriage feels like it's dead, that there's hope. But if your marriage feels like it's dead and maybe you two have been separated, I believe that you two can come alive together. But listen to me. Do you want to resurrect that old, dead, stressed out, busted up, always fighting, can't stand each other marriage and just get by in that? Or do you want to see him do a new thing in you two? See, I'm not saying, oh, I don't want her anymore. I want a new girl. No, that's not what I'm saying. I want God to do a new thing, not give you a new person. Come on. Come on. Come on, y'all. God give you a new person, you're just going to tick her off like you did the last one. Come on. We want God to do something in us, amen. I believe that God can do a new thing in you too. Same two people, but brand new, born again, God-honoring marriage. Amen. I think you need to get in God's presence. Hand him your marriage. Hand him your bitterness. Hand him your unforgiveness. Hand him your broken heart. Hand him the shame that you carry from the things that you said and you did and did wrong in your marriage. And say to God, God, I give you all this garbage. Oh, I give it to you, God. The bits that I did wrong, the bits that she did wrong or he did wrong, God, I give it all to you right now. And I know there's pain in that moment and there's so much brokenness in that moment. But we're telling God that we want to see a resurrection, but God, we only want a resurrection into what you have for me. I don't want to go back to busted up, beat down, hate each other, always fighting marriage. God, I want a resurrection into something new. I don't want to go back to that tomb and pull out anything that you don't want me to have. I don't want to go back to that tomb and pull out something that's going to bust up and break my life again. Come on. I'm saying goodbye to all this. God, I'm going to keep coming back to your presence, waiting for the new thing. Waiting for you to resurrect what you want to resurrect in my life. Amen. Come on, listen to me. Not everything that you lost needs to be resurrected. Come on. Not everything that's died in your life needs to be resurrected. Come on. We don't want God resurrecting everything. We want God to resurrect the things that God wants to resurrect in our lives. Amen. God, I'm waiting for you to bring something awesome with you out of that grave. Hallelujah. Listen to me, before you get a resurrection, you got to let Jesus take it to the tomb. You know, that's ultimate trust though, isn't it? God, I just give it to you. God, whatever happens, no matter what you bring out of that tomb, I'm here for it. And whatever you leave in there, I know was not going to be good for me. God, whatever you bring out, I'm here for it. You got to trust him with it. You got to let go of it. You got to open up your hands. It's like baptism, right? My whole life, dead and buried. God, bring up what you want to bring up. Amen. Too many people are waiting for a resurrection when they haven't even let go of what they hoped would happen in 2020. Everybody's like, oh, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this. Oh, this was supposed to happen. This is what I'm going to do it now. I'm going to have a resurrection. Come on. Some people need to let go of 2020. Let Jesus take it to the tomb. Let Jesus take the dreams that you had. Let Jesus take the hurt that you experienced. Hey, if you were shut up, locked up, hidden in fear or whatever else, then listen, you need to let him take that loneliness to the tomb because we ain't going to resurrect that, amen? You need to say, God, I felt like a dead man walking around. So many people have dried up dreams, dried up opportunities, dried up plans, dried up bones. Give it all to Jesus, amen? Tell him, take it all. Take it all. Take it all. Come on. God, I want to see a resurrection, but I only want you to resurrect in me things that you want me to have, things that honor you, things that help me serve you, things that help me point people to you, things that bless my life, bless my wife, bless my kids, bless my church, bless my workplace. Come on, things that give glory to your name, amen. Now, I know, come on, let's be real, right? Hands up, it could be anything, it might be a relationship, might be finances, might be a job, might be a friendship, might be a marriage, might be a child. Hands up if you lost something in 2020. Just give me a wave if you lost something, anything, right? Like, I know people lost some things last year. Last year was tough. No, it was good. It worked out really well for me. It worked out really well for our church. It worked out really well for so many people that I know, but it felt like you had to work harder to get really good. Yeah, right? Had to work harder to have well, yeah? Now, last year was tough, but I still remember the day that I said to the Lord, I only want back what you want me to have back. I remember the day. God, help me not to come back to this grave looking for things you don't want me to have anymore. Help me to find new life in the new things and what you want me to have. I remember the day that I felt like dry bones. I remember the day I'm looking around, I'm like, dry bones, dry bones, dry bones, dry bones. Look in the mirror, dry bones. And I couldn't get past it till I let him bury it. Come on, I don't know if this is speaking to somebody in here, but some of us have been trying to resurrect things that God doesn't want resurrected. We got to put it all in the tomb and then let God resurrect the things that he wants to bring back. Amen. That's the moment when I feel like I could see my dry bones beginning to come alive again. That's when my valley of dry bones come alive. See, there's a story in the Old Testament where the Lord showed Ezekiel a valley full of dry bones of soldiers long dead. And God tells Ezekiel to prophesy over those dry bones. And I'm going to read it to you. And sometimes it's good to explain it to you. Sometimes it's just written so perfectly. Let me read to you what it says. Ezekiel said, the Lord said to me, prophesy to these dry bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That bit there is in and of itself fascinating. Dry bones, hear. What are they going to hear with? Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. There ain't no ears on those suckers or a mind to process what they would hear anyway. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. If you think that that thing that you lost, if God wants it to come alive, it's coming alive. Doesn't matter if it makes sense. Come on, it's coming alive. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to you bones. I will make breath into you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded by God. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise like a rattling sound as bones come together. Bone to bone. Come on, there was a noise. I believe that today in this service, there's a spiritual rattling sound as bones are coming back together, amen. As dreams are coming back together, as relationships are coming back together, as fathers and sons are being reconciled and mothers and daughters are being reconciled, there's a sound, a rattling sound. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. And who am I prophesying to, the breath or the bones now? The breath. This is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds. We're prophesying, we're speaking to the Holy Spirit. Breathe into these bones, Holy Spirit. Breathe life into these visions, into these dreams, into these relationships. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as God commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then God said to me, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, the Israelites say, our bones are all dried up. Our hope is gone. We have nothing to live for. Steak don't cut it. Kids don't excite me. My job is boring. I'm dry. I'm cut off. Therefore, prophesy to them saying, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Yo, my people, I'm going to open up your graves and bring you up out of them. Eternity Church, this is the word of the Lord to you. I'm going to open up your graves and bring you up out of them. I'm going to open up your graves and bring you up out of them. Amen. God is saying the same thing to every one of you who's trusted him. Every one of you who's handed him your life and your whole life. All the things you wish you had, everything. Handed him your dry bones. He's saying the same power that rose those bones from the dead lives in you. He's saying the same power that rose Christ from the dead lives in you, Romans 8. So it's time to prophesy into the dry bones. It's not just time for me to speak to them. It's time for you to speak to them. Come on, this is after the curtain has been torn. You don't need a priest. You can speak the power, the resurrection power of God into your dry bones. Your relationships, your finances, your workplace, your businesses. Come alive, come alive, come alive, dry bones. Come alive in the name of the Lord. Come alive. Hallelujah. I don't just want people to come to church on Sunday and experience a word that the pastor brought them, the pastor brought them. I want people to get out, live their lives, and prophesy into their own dry bones. Come alive. Instead of one dude on a stage prophesying to thousands, I'd rather thousands prophesying to millions. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, be sure to check out our other episodes. If you would like to connect with Eternity Church, please visit myeternity.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. We'll see you next week. Love you heaps.